Do you know what I mean? I just felt like, I want to make this my own. I want to figure this out myself. I don't want to be in a loud room with a lot of weird people singing. That just did not seem cool to me. So I decided I wasn't going to be involved with anything like InterVarsity or any other Christian group my freshman year. Can I see who the freshmen are again? Raise your hand, wave at me. I don't know if anybody has told you this yet, but something, here's something about your freshman year. Nothing you decide coming into your freshman year works out. Everything changes, okay? So I decided I would never become a part of a Christian group, and then this guy named Jesse on my floor.
Jesse.
Super nice guy. Is this gonna work? Okay, cool. It's the mic. I'll just make a rotation. Is this all right? That's good. I met this guy named Jesse on my floor, okay? Jesse was super nice. He was actually my first friend. The first person ever to like ask me what my name was and remember it the next time he saw me. He was so welcoming, super great guy, okay? Jesse was also an insane person. He decided, we were on a second floor of a dorm wing, and he decided about the third week of school that we should have a pool on our floor. And so he didn't go out and get a kiddie pool like a normal insane person would do. This was his plan, and this is what he did. He waited until our RA was gone for the weekend. He went out and bought 20 rolls of duct tape. He went into the bathroom, our dorm bathroom, and taped up the door into the shower area up to about here from the ground. He plugged all the drains of the showers and put them all on full blast for 3 hours. And we had a pool. And it worked like really good. It didn't end well, but it worked pretty good for a while. Should I tell you how it ended? Do you want to know how it ended? You had to jump over the duct tape to get into the pool. That's the only problem, no door, right? You had to jump over it, so you would have to run full speed at the duct tape and jump over. And so about 20 of us made it in. And then short Paul, we had two Pauls on the floor, Paul, he made a little bit. Short Paul, he ran full tilt and slipped and just ran right through and destroyed our entire wing and the wing below us. And we all had to move out and go to a hotel for 2 weeks. This is true. While they redid the whole two floors. So, Jesse was a nice guy. Jesse was an insane person. Jesse was also involved with InterVarsity, which meant he was super annoying. Because I had decided I didn't want to be a part of anything like that. But Jesse was so cool and so nice and wouldn't leave me alone and kept inviting me. So after about the 10th time of inviting me and me turning him down, he was like, listen, just come and see what you think. Come and see what you think. If you like it, then you can stick around. If you hate it, that's fine, but just give it a chance. At the very least, it'll be a memory of your freshman year that you can talk about and tell the story of sometime in your life. And so here I am, 23 years later, remembering and telling the story to you about how Jesse asked me to come and see, and I did. Starting tonight, on Thursday nights, and going for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be doing a series here at Large Group within MRC that we're calling Come and See. And I know there are people in this room from all different spiritual backgrounds and in all different spiritual places right now in your lives. Some of them, some of you have been Christians your whole life, like I was. Some of you are kind of like, you grew up in the church, but you're not sure about it, like I was. Some of you had no religious background at all, like some of our other staff. Oh, I should introduce the staff. Can my staff stand up, the NAU staff?
What's happening here? When I read a story like this, I like to look at the
characters, and so I see several characters in this story. The first one is Jesus. He's coming into a new town, Jericho. And just a little background, he's been doing a lot of crazy stuff. And so Jesus has a big following. Wherever he goes, whenever he goes into a new town, everybody just kind of crowds around. During the election, 2016, for some reason, Bernie Sanders would always come to Flagstaff. And he would just like show up. And all of a sudden, everybody would be like tweeting about it, and he's over at Macy's Coffee, and everybody would like run over there. I don't know why. Like, I bet half the people there that you'd ask, like, are you gonna vote for this guy? Would be like, huh. It's just like, he's famous, and he's in a bike now. This is a real story. I was stopped at a stoplight, and just Bernie Sanders just walks across. And I really did this. I rolled my window down, and I go, hey! And he turned around, and he goes, hey. Just keeps walking, this big crowd following him. This is kind of like that, but Bernie Sanders is like older and grumpier. So just imagine that. When a famous person coming to town and everybody knows about it, okay? That's Jesus. And what's going on with him? There's a crowd. I think actually that's the second character, is the crowd. There's this big crowd following him. And some of the people in the crowd are his followers that have been with him for a long time. Some of the people in the crowd are dissenters who hate him and are scared of him and frightened of him and just want to keep an eye on him. But most of the crowd is in Jericho is just pure and simple curious. They just want to see a famous person. And so they're following him around. And then we have the third character, Zacchaeus. What do we know about Zacchaeus? He's small, right? He is small of stature. For thousands of years, this has been what Zacchaeus is known for. He is small. Now, I don't want to sell him short, but... Good night, everybody. Have a good night. See ya. I'm a dad, so that's allowed. But I can do it because I'm a dad. So I don't want to sell him short. Pretty good joke. What else do we know about Zacchaeus? He is a chief tax collector, and he's wealthy. Those two things are not good for people that know Zacchaeus. That combination is not a good one. Because it means that what he does, he's good at. But what he does, people hate. So I was trying to think of an example of what that would be like. It would be like if I had a really good drug dealer in town, in my neighborhood. He's super good at it, right? And he loves hanging out at the bus stop. So good at it, such a good drug dealer. Or a really good pimp. I'm just telling you that because that's the kind of distaste people would have for this guy. Like, he does something really well, but we hate what he does. Okay? That's who Zacchaeus is, very unpopular. But he was as curious as everybody else, right? Actually, when I read this scripture, it feels like he's more curious than everybody else, right? He really wanted to come and see Jesus. What does he do? We see that he runs. He ran ahead of the crowd. Now, he has probably never run, is my guess, this guy. I'm a runner. I run to stay in shape. And that's pretty normal nowadays to just see like tubby guys running around, right? Because we're 40 and we feel bad about ourselves, so we go for a run, right? That's pretty normal, right? Joggers. Back then, running was undignified, especially for somebody who had a reputation to uphold. He runs anyway, and then he climbs up a tree. I like to think about Zacchaeus standing at the base of this tree thinking, am I really going to do this? I have worked my whole life for a certain reputation to build up something that people respect, even fear, and now I'm going to act like a little kid and climb up into a tree. Should I do that? And he does. He climbs up into the tree. And because he does that, he gets this invitation from Jesus. Well, actually, Jesus invites himself over, which I love, right? It's not an invitation somewhere else. It's like, I'm coming to your house. Let's go. I don't know why, actually, that's great. He invites himself over, and it's, even though he does invite himself to Zacchaeus' house, it's an invitation, right? He still looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, I see you. Come down. I want to get to know you. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you. I want you to come and see what you think of me. And right away, the crowd, the followers of Jesus and the dissenters both start complaining about it, right? They start muttering and mumbling. They use the word sinner like it's a curse word. But Zacchaeus accepts Jesus' invitation anyway. They go to his house. Jesus comes to his house, and then things go crazy, right? Zacchaeus changes. Boom. He's a new man. He makes some serious changes in his life. He's healed in ways that impact him and the people around him. He is healed. He gives stuff up that has been weighing himself down. He was rich. He was powerful. And he had a good life, probably in the world standards. But he was willing to let this guy that just invited himself over to his house, who he was just coming to see, change everything in his life. On top of that, he probably had other stuff he had to release in that moment. He probably had secrets. He probably had this reputation I was talking about. He probably had a lot of pride. And inviting Jesus into his house meant he was giving all of that up. But he was so taken by this guy. This person who was able to see through it all and say, I want to spend time with you and welcome him into something bigger, that this guy was willing to respond. And everything changes. The question I wanted you to ponder tonight is, what kind of person does Jesus invite to come and see? Who does he invite to experience him? Who does he want to be with? Who does he want to change? Who does he want to heal? Who does he want to welcome in? Is it only those who are already following him? Is it only the person who has grown up in religion? Is it only the person who kind of looks great, like they have it all together and acts perfect? According to the story, no. He actually sought out something different than that. And if you stick around and come back for the next 4 weeks here in Large Group, if you join a small group, and dig in to the stories of Jesus this year. If you come with us to Fall Conference in a month in Prescott, which you totally should because it's amazing, you're going to see and hear over and over again that the answer to that question I just asked is no. He's not just interested in people who are perfect, people who have it all together, people who are polished. If someone is curious, that's who he wants to be with. If someone has questions, that's who he wants to be with. If somebody has doubts, that's the kind of person Jesus wants to welcome in. That's the kind of person Jesus wants to change. That's the person that Jesus wants to heal inside and out. Not the perfect person, the person who's curious and who just wants to know more. And who is really screwed up. I'm standing here in front of you tonight thanking God that that's true. Because I am that kind of person. I am deeply flawed. I am full of doubt and full of questions. I'm hiding secrets. I'm protecting my reputation. I'm struggling with all sorts of crap. And Jesus sees me up in the tree and he says, I see you. Just come down. I want to talk. I want to meet with you. I want to be with you. I want to eat with you. Come and see. I'm standing in front of you tonight thanking God for this on your behalf, because that's you too. Whether or not you want to admit it, you're all those things too. I don't know what questions and doubts you have, but I know you have. Okay? You can't fool me. You have questions and doubts too. I don't know what you're hiding, but I know you are. We're all hiding something. I've been doing this for 2 decades. It takes me 5 minutes talking to a perfect person to find out that they're hiding something. And it's comforting to know that we're in a room of people that are hiding, right? Because we're all in the same place. I don't know all your crap, but trust me, you have it. It's in there. Jesus sees you in the tree. If you're curious about him, and if you've come to see him, he sees you there. And he says, just come down. Can I come in? Can I eat with you? Can I meet with you? Can we talk? Would you come and see? He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me. And he wants to be with every other Zacchaeus on this campus. And finally, I'm standing in front of you tonight as I close, thanking God for this, but also asking you to respond to it, to this amazing truth, in one of these two ways. And maybe you're going to pick one tonight to answer. Maybe you need to respond to one of them. Maybe you need to respond to both of them. But the first one I just want to ask us to respond to is, what does that mean for us as a Christian group on campus? If this is true, what I just said, that Jesus really wants to welcome every curious person on this campus to come and see him, what does that mean for us? That he loves and wants to meet with every person, regardless of who they are, what they've been through, what questions they have, what they're going through right now. If it's true that he longs to be with them, to eat with them, and to heal them, then that needs to change us. That needs to change who we are. That needs to change how we act on this campus this year. If we're supposed to be like him, because Christian means like Christ, it actually means mini Christ, a Christ follower, somebody who wants to be like Jesus. That's what a Christian means. It's not a religion. It's not a title. It's a posture. We want to be like Jesus, right? We want to act like he acted and say what he said and love people like he did. And we want to invite people as widely and generously and counterculturally as he did. Right? So my first invitation to you corporately, InterVarsity at NAU, is will we welcome people in to our large groups and our small groups, to fall conference, to our events, to our conversations, to our meals, to our friend groups, and to our lives? Will we welcome people like Jesus did? My second invitation to respond to this passage is more personal. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for you, personally? It has to do with whether you need to respond to this invitation. Yeah, thanks, Michael. I'll come up. Whether you need to respond to an invitation of Jesus tonight. I can't read a passage like this without thinking, am I willing to be welcomed by him? And I want you to think about that for yourself. Are you willing to come and see him this year? Are you even willing to start something tonight and say, Jesus, I want to follow you for the first time? Or maybe you're thinking, I kind of prayed a prayer when I was a little kid, but maybe he wants you to make a decision tonight to follow him as an adult. You're making a lot of decisions right now this first week of school as an adult for the first time, some of you freshmen, right? Maybe one of those decisions he wants you to think about tonight is, will you follow me while you're in college? That's what Zacchaeus did. He was willing to be welcomed in by Jesus. He was willing to make an effort to be with him. He was willing to take stock of his life and allow Jesus into it. And he was willing to be changed. He was willing to come and see and say yes. So I'm asking you tonight, will you do it too? The first larger Bible I went to with Jesse, my freshman year, an InterVarsity staff's in front, just like I am, and she made a similar invitation to accept Jesus' invitation to me personally. And it was like she was talking, like, to me. I knew she was talking to the whole group, but it just felt like, man, is anybody else in the room right now? Because I feel like she is talking to me. And I felt that so strongly that when she asked, is this you? Do you want to follow Jesus? with your whole life while you're in college. I stood up. I was so moved. And my life has never been the same. I didn't change completely. I'm not the person I am now when I stood up, right? It saved me 20 years to get here. But it was the beginning of something. And my sense is that Jesus wants to invite people into a beginning tonight. So I'm actually going to ask you to close your eyes. That may seem strange to some of you. I'm not going to come over and slap you or anything. You're safe. The reason I'm asking you to close your eyes is because I'm making this personal invitation, and I want you to be able to respond to it without distraction. And so I want to ask you, is Jesus inviting you tonight? Maybe to follow him for the first time? To become a Christian? Or maybe he is bringing something up in your mind and saying, you're just like Stephen was. He grew up in the church, but he wasn't committed to me until that night. Maybe you feel like I felt that night, where this invitation is actually for you. And I say, if you feel that way, you go with it, okay? That's God doing something in your heart. And so if you would like to respond to either of those invitations, would you like to follow Jesus for the first time tonight? Or would you like to make an adult decision for him? I just want you to look at me, because I want to pray for you. I see you. I see you too. If I don't see you, just give me a little wave so I can make sure I see you. I see you. And you too. I haven't even looked at the second room yet. I see you. Hi. I see you too. Gotcha. Is there anybody else? I see. I see you. Here's what's happening right now. I feel like people are responding to this invitation because Jesus is here. I see you. And he wants to do something in your lives. I see you too there. Gotcha. See you. I see you. Hi. It's a lot of people. When I did this, I want to remind you of something. It wasn't like I was perfect after I made this decision. It's not a conversion like in a second. This takes time. And that's why we have small groups, so that you can get involved with people. Not just come to a meeting, but also go and learn more about Jesus. So I'm going to pray for those that looked at me. I think I counted 19 or 20. So something's going on. So I'm going to pray for you. And then I'm going to ask another question for us all to respond to. If you looked at me, I'm not trying to embarrass you, but if you would just open your hands maybe on the desk in front of you to receive this prayer. If you're not comfortable with it, that's fine. Maybe you can do it in your lap. Just as a sign that you're going to receive what I'm praying for you right now. Jesus, I thank you for all those that are making decisions for you right now. Like I said, I don't know what their questions are. I don't know what they've been through in their past. I imagine some of them have been through a lot. But I believe that you are saying to them right now, I see you there. Just invite me in. And so if you're one of those people that looked at me or have made a decision, maybe you didn't look at me, but you want to make a decision right now, would you just say in your mind to him, this is praying to him. Just say, Jesus, I welcome you in. Come in and heal me from the things I need healing from. Change me in the ways you want to change me. Do something in my heart that I have not been able to do for these years. Would you just say to him, Jesus, I want to follow you. God, I thank you for each person that's made that decision. I pray that you'd protect them. Tonight, as they're here, and tonight as they go, would you surround them with people that will love them and help them understand the decision that they made? That they would grow and grow. That this would not just be a one-time thing and a one night. But that they would know that this is the beginning of something great. That their time at NAU is going to be amazing because of this decision that they made. Amen. Worship team, can you come up? I'm going to ask one more question. And that is, if something is stirring in you about becoming more like Jesus this year, if you want to decide to follow him, maybe in a renewed way this year, to be more like him, especially in this area of being more like him as he saw other people on campus and loved them, not on his campus, in the world, let's say, but he saw people and loved them in a renewed way. And you would like that. I would like to pray for you too. I'm going to actually ask you to stand up. If you feel like I want to follow Jesus closer this year and become more like him, would you stand up? I want to pray for you. If it's anything, if it's small, if it's big, if you just want to learn more about him, if you want to follow him more closely, I want to pray for you. Jesus, I thank you for each person that's standing. And I thank you that your love is overflowing for them right now. Your heart is leaping because these people are wanting to commit more fully to you. I'm grateful for that. Jesus, I pray for anybody in this room, sitting or standing. I ask that you would show them your love in some tangible way this week, this weekend, and draw them closer to you, Jesus. I pray that as we sing these last couple songs, we would do so with our whole hearts. Grateful that you have come in to eat with us and ready to change and be healed in the ways that you want. As we come and as we see you, would you show yourself strong to us? In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we all stand up together? We're going to end with a couple songs of worship.